Be advised, the Digital Graveyard contains the following: adult language, bad advice, and spoilers. There will be no further warnings. Consider yourself disclaimed.
Now back with more cowbell than ever before. I mean, it's still none. It's still no cowbell. It's the Digital Graveyard. I am Graves, Eric Graves, one half of the show, and my co-host is here. He's here. He's sitting across from me.
Yeah, we got Bobby Digital here. This is the Digital Graveyard, a nerdy podcast where we talk about nerdy things. And we are recording today, April 25th, 2021.
Which is significant because it's like the first time we've been able to record it, like...
It's been almost a month.
A very long time.
It's been almost a month.
I just got back from Arizona.
Yeah, April's been hugely busy for us. Yeah, you went out of town. You went to Arizona.
And then my computer just died.
Yeah.
So that was a whole other thing. So yeah, it's been a busy time. But the good news about that, well, it's kind of a mixed blessing, a double-edged sword, I guess, is that we have a lot to talk about. We can't fit it all in an hour, but we're no shortage of content. We always start off our show, before we get into, like, the news in the nerdy world, we talk about just, we call them the pleasantries, just what we've been checking out over our time in between episodes, and we've been doing kind of a lot. Do you want to go first, or should I?
I mean, let's first talk about the things that we both definitely have watched.
Oh, man, yeah, because, I mean, right before I head over here, I watched Mortal Kombat, the new Mortal Kombat movie, which is out, and you've seen it as well.
Yeah, I saw it the night it came out Friday.
We both have, my HBO account, we both use it. So, yeah, which is streaming on HBO, but it is also in theaters. This is the first Mortal Kombat adaptation since, God, at least like almost 10 years, right?
Yeah, we were in college when they were making one.
It was like a YouTube series, right?
It was like Mortal Kombat Legacies, I think is
something
what it was
like
called.
And I remember thinking that was really cool, but just like when I watched them all at once, it like didn't really hold up.
Yeah. Yeah, they were very like made separately, they weren't meant to go together.
Yeah, like episodes. Yeah, for sure. And then, I mean, before that, of course, everybody remembers the two Mortal Kombat movies from the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm. Which... objectively are bad, but the first one, well, at the very least, people are like, best video game movie ever.
Well, yeah, it's still, like, objectively bad. Movies were just kind of bad then, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the Street Fighter movies are objectively bad, too, but, man, I will still sit down and watch Jean-Claude Van Damme the Street Fighter movie, man. Like,
I won't
great.
Watch The Legend of Chun-Li, though.
I've never seen it.
So bad.
I kind of refuse to.
Yeah, no, it stars that, what's her name, from Smallville. She plays Lana Lang in Smallville.
I don't know anyone from Smallville, dude.
Kristen Kruick. That's
Kristen
her name.
Kruick. Yeah, I just remember that the trailers for that movie gave me strong Elektra vibes, and I'm never going to watch another movie as bad as Elektra again ever in my lifetime. But the new Mortal Kombat was actually, I mean, I thought it was pretty good. Like, I was not expecting it to be a great movie. I was expecting it to be fun, because all the Mortal Kombat movies are fun in the way that any movie based on a video game is. But
I mean, you say that
fun for yes, I guess I know any martial arts movie. I guess I'll say. And it didn't disappoint. Like, the fight scenes were great. The fight scenes were amazing. But I mean, and people will disagree with me, I'm sure. But I didn't think the story was really bad. I thought the story was decent, and more importantly, didn't get in the way at all. Or didn't make sense at any points. Like, it wasn't just to serve between fight scenes. You know what
I
mean? The whole reason we're watching this movie is for cool, action-packed fight scenes, right?
Yeah.
And a lesser filmmaker would probably just write these little story dialogues, very expository, very, oh, now we must do this. Now we must do this. Oh, no, this has happened. Like, and then,
well, it would literally be the setup from the first movie where it's just like, let's get all these characters to this place and then do tournament style.
Yeah.
But which, like, is what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, right off the bat, they're like, it's not taking place during the actual tournament.
We should address that like, canonically, compared to the... I mean, I'm a pretty big fan of the Mortal Kombat series. I'm not an uber fan. Like, I did have to look up, I think it was... General Ryko, Yeah. I had no idea that was actually a character.
He's from, like, the PS2 games,
I
right?
had to do a deep, deep dive into... I guess he's, like, in the background of some of the old games or something.
Okay.
But he was playable in one of the PlayStation 2 versions. And Nadira either was another one that I remember, but yeah, all the characters are canon to the series.
They didn't want to use the big name characters. They want to save those for the...
Probably a good idea they didn't go with Johnny Cage. You know, probably a good idea.
Or even characters like Melina or Katana.
Well, Melina was in it. Katana and Jade, I think you're thinking of. Green. And which makes sense because they're not in the first game, but neither is Melina. Neither, like, any of the bad guys are not in the first game.
Yeah, the only of those bad guys who are in the first game are Sub-Zero.
Kano, Sub-Zero, and Goro.
Yeah.
And
Goro's a boss.
Yeah, Goro's awesome, dude. Yeah. I love that scene with Goro, dude. It's so well done. is it true to the characters? Not entirely. And I think people who are like crazy obsessive over the series will probably find a little bit of annoyance with that.
Yeah.
But honestly, watching it, I thought the characters were more true than almost any other interpretation of the characters before.
Yeah, I'd say so.
It's a little, Sub-Zero is definitely more vilified than I think he's usually portrayed as.
Yeah.
But Sub-Zero's not a great guy. Like...
No. Well, because, yeah,
he's straight up a villain in this movie.
The whole Sub-Zero Scorpion thing has always been, like, there was Sub-Zero, he killed Scorpion.
He killed Scorpion.
Scorpion came back, killed him.
Killed him.
And then his brother took over Sub-Zero. And that's usually the Sub-Zero we know.
Which is what I think if they make a sequel, they'll probably focus on that. Like,
right.
Because the main character, again, spoiler, I mean, it's not really a spoiler, you find out pretty early on in the movie, that the main character, who is not a character that's ever been in any of the video games, his name is Cole.
Yeah, Cole Young.
Yeah, I think it was a good choice to go with that, too. They didn't have to do it, but if they didn't do it, they probably would have just put Johnny Cage in that role, and I just really think it's a good idea not to have Johnny Cage in this role. I don't know.
Johnny Cage is so ridiculous.
I don't hate Johnny Cage, I just think, you can't take him seriously. But, I think if they do a sequel, because they did imply that he's going to be, if they do another one, that it's going to focus, he's at least going to be involved.
Yeah.
I think he's going to serve as the comic relief that Kano sort of served in this movie. And can we just say, best part of the movie, fucking Kano?
Kano's fucking great.
God damn, the guy that got to play Kano was amazing.
His comedic timing was so good.
So good. We should talk about the casting in this movie, I was thrilled with. First of all, didn't whitewash anybody.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hollywood. That's awesome.
Yeah.
They also, I don't know. I mean, we all know that Sub-Zero and Scorpion are vaguely Asian. I don't know if it's ever said where they're exactly from.
Yeah, they made them Japanese and Chinese, respectively.
They made Scorpion Japanese, and they made Sub-Zero Chinese. And I think that worked out pretty well. But the actors that got to play them were just the most serious, dramatic actors I've seen in, any fighting movie.
Oh, yeah. No, they were into it.
How good they were.
They were freaking into it.
It was incredible, dude. And I mean, another thing that I bring up as well is something we talked about a lot is the influence that the Chinese and Asian cinema markets have on American movies.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, I think the case with Monster Hunter specifically, they'll hire a lot of big-name Asian actors and then just put them in minor roles and just so they can sell them in Chinese markets. This is a movie where that actually kind of works out for the best because...
Yeah, were those big-name Chinese actors, do you know?
I think so. I know Chinese the guy who played Japanese, Raiden was. Yeah. The guy who played Raiden, I've definitely seen in other foreign films.
Yeah.
The guy who played Scorpion looks really familiar, too.
He is an older actor, so we've probably seen him in things.
Yeah, he's probably been in samurai movies, man.
But, I will say the only kind of disappointment I have is, Liu Kang and Kung Lao, I feel, are the least represented of all the characters.
Well, because they're usually the main characters.
Right, they are.
and
they had a whole spin-off game for them.
They did, specifically.
But so did Jax.
True to the story, though, man. The Kung Lao Liu Kang bromance is so real in this movie.
Well, and even that Kung Lao is a lot more violent than Liu.
Yeah,
and
Liu's a little more
and also has a little more of a chip on his shoulder about that thing.
For sure. And I guess I think the biggest thing, I mean, if it seems like we're overly praising this movie, it's because, again, I didn't really have high hopes going in, just because it's very difficult to adapt video game movies and make them accurate to the video games.
Right.
But I want to talk about, can we talk about how goddamn accurate this movie was? And they knew it was, like, cheesy and, like, tongue-in-cheek, wink-wink, like, oh, I guess I finished him. Like, it's just some bullshit like that. Like, there were so many.
Kano wins!
There were so many, it's like, ugh, fatality. Like, it's just like...
flawless victory.
Fucking great, right? Like, Kung Lao literally kills somebody with a buzzsaw hat.
Yes, I loved it.
Liu Kang summons his fucking dragon animality, and it bites Cabal just the same way that it was. Cabal looked amazing. I didn't think he was going to be in this movie because I didn't see him in the trailers. I love Cabal. Like, he's...
Is he one of your favorites from, like, the old ones?
I have a lot of favorites, I realize. Just kind of going through, like, the list of characters that trying to look up to see who General Ryko was. Yeah. I was just kind of going back, and, like, I have a lot of favorites. Reptile, just a full-on lizard man.
Yeah, they didn't even bother with the ninja angle for him.
But, I mean, he's been various different forms throughout the series.
Yeah, in the last few games, they've been very much like, nah, he's just a lizard.
Yeah, now that he's not just a palette swap, they actually, like, design him, because he is, like, supposed to be a weird race of lizard men from the Outworlds that's, like, enslaved by Shao Kahn or something.
Yeah, but, like, I'm looking forward to the sequel movie because I want to see the other characters they're going to bring into it. Because right away I'm like, Baraka is probably going to be on the
I mean, it's also implied that the villains who were killed are not quite so dead.
Well, but it only showed that he took Sub-Zero and Goro.
Mm.
Which, in Mortal Kombat lore, the original Sub-Zero becomes Noob Saibot.
Oh!
Like, that's...
I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, that's the
Noob
whole
thing. Noob Saibot, who is, of course, named after creators Ed Boon and John Tobias.
Yeah.
fun fact, it's their name spelled backwards. I had no idea about that, actually. I knew Noob Saibot was, like, a weird ghost ninja, but I didn't know his origin story.
Yeah, it's like Shang Chung?
Shang Tsung.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
The villain from the first game.
Yeah.
And the first movie.
Yeah. And this movie.
Yeah. Also, again, another... phenomenal casting.
Yeah.
Like, that guy sold it so well.
But yeah, his deal is always like he brought back that Sub-Zero. He also brought back Scorpion. Like, that's always been his deal.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's him, Shang Tsung, Shao Kahn, who's the Emperor of Outworld.
Like,
he's
the big bad guy. Yeah.
There's also Quan Chi, who I think is like a wizard who rules the Nether Realms.
Yeah.
And I think they've written that he brings back Scorpion sometimes too. I don't think because he was introduced later in the games, but before him, I think in the third game, Sindel, who's Shao Kahn's wife, who he killed, is also a villain as well. Like, I mean, again, like going through the list,
I know part of the reason
many characters.
I know part of the reason he brings a lot of those characters back is to kind of like plan a coup.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. They're always betraying each other and all this. But like the lore of any fighting game is always insane.
Yeah.
But Mortal Kombat is like the definition of that.
Mortal Kombat's at least always been like pretty consistent.
Yeah.
With like their stories have always been at the forefront of their video games.
I don't remember which one. I think it might be the 8th or 9th, but it was pretty much just a retelling of all the Mortal Kombat games up until that point. And I remember that was the first like because they were kind of bad for a few years before that point, and that was the first one that I was like, damn, Mortal Kombat's good again. So right around the same time that NetherRealm started working on Injustice as well.
Yeah, it was Mortal Kombat 9 is what that
Mortal
is.
Mortal Kombat 9, yeah.
Yeah, they just decided to do a full-on reboot.
Yeah, and you're playing one character and you're playing from their perspective of the story that just continues the entire franchise.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, if you want to recommend a game for somebody to get in who's never played Mortal Kombat, I would recommend that one in a heartbeat. But yeah, I mean, we can't gush over it too much more because we got other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
I was positively surprised by how much I enjoyed the new Mortal Kombat movie, and I genuinely hope they make another one.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to, right now, video game movies are doing so well. Like, you brought up Monster Hunter, and obviously it's the most, we like this Mortal Kombat. I also really liked the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Can I say, the Sonic Hedgehog movie is decent.
Yeah.
Totally decent. And can I say, Monster Hunter's not a good movie, but Monster Hunter is a pretty accurate movie to the video games.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I don't think Warner Brothers did Monster Hunter. I could be wrong. But I feel like the lessons that people learn from the Monster Hunter movie were used in Mortal Kombat. It's like, yes, you can have accurate, like, you can make a movie very, very accurate to the video games, but you're allowed to change some shit.
For sure.
Like, you can do that. Like, I want to point out for an example, like, Melina, who is technically, like, I think in the lore, a clone of Kitana.
Yeah, yeah, she's like a clone of her mixed with whatever Baraka is.
Yeah, with what Baraka's Netherrealm species. Yeah. I don't know the name of offhand. I know he's a different species. The Shokan is what Goro is.
Yeah.
But I don't know the name of what Baraka is. Oh man, I can't wait to see Baraka. Yeah.
I want Nightwolf. Like, they teased him in the movie.
I know! I freaked out! It's Nightwolf! Oh my god!
He was one of my favorites!
He was. Again, yeah, he's, again, one of my favorites. I have a lot of them. And again, like Goro, but also Kentaro, also yeah. Motaro, and Shita? Or whatever.
Shiva.
Shiva.
Yeah.
Yeah, the female Goro. Like, I mean, they have a whole species too. Like, they, I mean.
Yeah. They call them like dragon people or something like
the
that.
The Shokan, that's what they're called.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're dragons or what. I mean, it's Mortal Kombat doesn't make sense. Doesn't. You don't need it to. But I know, it's good, and I do like how they, one more thing before we can move on, I did like how they just sort of kind of explained away their powers. It's like, yeah, it's just, I mean, you're one of the chosen ones, you get magic powers, like,
yeah, this,
figure it out.
The Arcana thing, I'm kind of like, fine, it explains, like, Liu Kang and Kung Lao, how they do their things, but, like, Jax has metal arms, like, we didn't need to explain that.
Yeah, but his arms get more metal because that's his Arcana body.
Which is like, okay, so if he didn't lose his arms, was he not going to grow metal arms?
Probably.
Probably never. No.
We never have to find that out, Bobby, because the events in the movie happen the way they happen. But no, I'm pleasantly surprised by Mortal Kombat, and I would recommend it to anybody who's on the fence about it.
Yeah,
but that's really good. Far from the only thing we've watched in the time off that we've had. You've been reading a lot, you said. You want to talk about something?
Yeah, yeah. I've been reading a lot of indie manga. Nice. Or not manga, not indie manga. Indie comics.
It's still fine.
I mean, I checked out a little bit of manga, but one really cute manga I did look up is called, like, Komi Can't Communicate.
Well, I've never heard of it, so please explain.
It's just like it's a slice of life manga where you got this girl that everyone just believes is awesome. She's so cool because she's, like, disrespectful and this and that.
Oh, she's a bad bitch.
Yeah.
Got it.
When in reality, she has massive social anxiety.
Oh.
So it's not that she can't communicate. It's that she is too afraid to.
Well.
So, like, it's when, like, the teacher asks her to, like, you know, say your name and all this stuff, she's just, like, writes it on the board and just drops it. So it's like, oh, she's so cool. But really, she's just like, I couldn't talk. Like, she's, like, shaking the whole time.
That's a weird premise for a story, but you're enjoying it?
Yeah, it's so cute. Because, like, then you got this boy who, like, his entire goal is to just kind of, like, drift through school and everything.
Sure.
And then, like, he's the first person, like, get a word out of her. Okay. And now everyone's like, oh, he's cool too now.
Like... Well, that's interesting. I mean, so what's the name of that one again?
Komi Can't Communicate.
Komi Can't Communicate, man. Yeah. Okay, that's something. Yeah. For anyone who's looking to read something new, what else have you been checking out?
I did catch up on The Ninja Turtles The Last Ronin.
Fuck yeah!
Yeah, oh my god, it's so fucking good.
Yeah, you love Ninja Turtles, too.
I do love Ninja
Turtles.
So
when you say it's fucking good, that's a pretty glowing review, yeah. You know?
Well, apparently this story was, they thought of it way back when, Eastman and Laird. They were let's do a story where it is, like, decades in the future,
Eastman and Laird actually, like, write this one?
Yeah.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, they did. They don't do the art, which, thank God, because... their art does not age well.
No.
but in this story, we're down to just one turtle left.
No, what?
Right?
Which one?
It's Michelangelo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the best of all of us.
Yep, and with each issue...
He's the party dude.
Yeah, with each issue, you do kind of learn, like, what happened to the other brothers, because they don't all die at once.
They just couldn't party enough. They couldn't keep the party going. Yeah. I knew that's how it would end.
But Michelangelo's very, like, miserable, and, like, he's trying to take down the grandson of the Shredder at this point.
Are you saying Michelangelo's all partied out?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He is.
That's a fate worse than death.
Yeah, and the only, like, characters that we know of that return are April. And that's
it. Oh, damn.
Like, everyone else seems to be dead.
So, Splinter's gone. Casey's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. April seems to be it. The entire world is, like, in a nuclear, like, fallout at this point.
What about Dr. Baxter?
Haven't seen him yet.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you keep an eye out for him.
Yeah.
I do not trust that guy.
Yeah,
he turned into a fucking fly once, man.
With each issue, we learn what happened to each of the other turtles.
Is it still ongoing or is it done yet?
It's still ongoing. Okay. It's only on issue 2.
Okay.
But they're long. They're like 80 pages each.
Damn, that right? is really long.
Right?
Fuck.
Yeah, so Raphael died by like fighting Karai to the death and drowning.
Sounds fair, right?
Yeah. Yeah, after she, like,
he's either going to fight her to death or fuck her to death. I don't know, one of the two. Those guys have a weird relationship.
Yeah, after she, like, attacked and injured Splinter, but not killed him.
But, okay, so we don't know how Splinter
died. Raph is pissed.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, I mean, so obviously we don't know how everybody's died yet, but I'm sure that will be, like, the crux of this story.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, yeah, it's Ninja Turtles The Last Ronin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, like, impossible to find the first issue outside of the reprints they've been doing, because, my God, they jumped up in price so fucking quick.
When did they come out originally?
Like, a month ago?
Wow.
Like, maybe a month and a half now?
They didn't think there'd be, like, a high demand for...
I guess not.
Eastman and Laird writing of Ninja Turtles again? Like, this fucking, like, Eastman and Laird doing The Dark Knight Returns, but with Ninja Turtles?
Right.
Like,
didn't think.
That sounds like the easiest sell for a comic book store. I don't know, man. Whatever. Anyway. Yeah.
But otherwise, all I've been doing is I'm starting to sell my comic collection, man.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about it for a while. You know, I haven't even
We've just been kind of talking about it, but now it's actually happening.
My comic book collection is so stagnant in my long boxes that they just basically, I use them as furniture. Like, I haven't even opened them up. So I know eventually I'll get around to, like, going through it and deciding what I actually want to get rid of. But, you know, it's coming up. Like, you have to do it eventually.
Yeah, if anyone wants, like, I don't know, the first appearance of Gambit. Or something like that. I've got it.
I mean, I wouldn't know how much you want to sell it for, but I mean, we'll talk about this later.
Top dollar.
anyway, well, that is a lot, though, man. Reading, I've been replaying the hell out of Fallout 4 because I never actually beat that one. I'm still not that far. That's been consuming a lot of my time. Between that and the fact that we now have HBO Max and can watch the shit out of all that, I've been picking up a lot of their shows. But mostly, and I'm not embarrassed to say this because you know what podcast this is, they have all the goddamn Cartoon Network cartoons HBO Max, dude. I've been watching Ed, Edd n Eddy.
Nice.
And I'm into season 3 of Steven Universe, which we've sung the praises of countless times.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's better than Game of Thrones, man. I'm straight.
Wow, that is a bar.
I haven't seen the ending of Steven Universe, but I have seen the ending of Game of Thrones, and I don't see how Steven Universe can't be better than Game of Thrones at this point.
Yeah.
In any case,
way for a show to not stick the landing.
Exactly. Like, I just, but the fact that I've watched up to season 3 multiple times, because that was all that was available on Hulu for the longest time, And the fact that the show's over, and the fact that I do know, like, spoilers and stuff about how the show ends, when you rewatch it all in one go, the brain in Rebecca Sugar is not a human brain. Like, it's so goddamn, like, I can't believe the continuity of the show. I can't believe, like, it's like Game of Thrones in how insane the continuity of this universe is.
Well, and just...
And how they choose to... What time they choose to reveal information about things.
Yeah.
Is also just like, wow. Wow. Fascinating to me.
Well, like, it makes me think of... Because I listened to, like, a commentary on, like, the last episode of DuckTales.
Yeah. Is DuckTales done now?
Yeah, it's done.
Okay, cool.
But, like, it's one of those... With Steven Universe and DuckTales, it's this whole, like, they always talk like they had a plan from the very beginning. And it's like, but how on earth did you really expect to get to that?
Yeah.
Because, like, with the way shows are, like, you're guaranteed a season, and then there's no guarantee that you get a second.
We're not creators, so we really can't, I mean, we have no idea what the process is, but it's something that, I mean, you see constantly with very, very good media, very, very good writing of any kind. Like, just... The story is there. Like, it seems so complete. And I think that's why a lot of people really liked Game of Thrones until the very end, because that's when the story wasn't complete anymore.
Yeah.
You know? So again, like, I mean, if you're not a weirdo who watches cartoons, like, watch Steven Universe. Like, get past the first 10 episodes, and it just, like, eventually you're going to get hooked. It's a charming, wholesome show that has such a fucking goddamn cerebral story. I'm blown away by it. So I've been watching that. Just watched Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And, just before I came over, I watched a new docuseries on Hulu called Sasquatch.
Okay.
And it's produced by Mark Duplass and his brother, Jay Duplass. If that name doesn't ring a bell, he was the creator and star of The League, which is a comedy show about fantasy football.
Yeah.
With Nick Kroll and Paul Scheer and et cetera, et cetera. So he's most famous for being a comedian, and he's been in a couple other comedic roles as well. The guy's got a lot of range. Like, I know for a fact he's also a very big horror movie fan. He's starred in a series he created called Creep. He directed and produced a movie starring his wife called Black Rock, which isn't really a horror. It's like a psychological thriller, but it's very, very good. This isn't his first documentary either. He also did Wild Wild Country, which is a documentary about the Rajneesh cult that was in Oregon, I think, or maybe Washington State, I don't remember. So he's made similar documentaries to this before. Sasquatch follows an investigative journalist who, in his 20s, going undercover in a weed farm in Northern California.
Sure.
And just, like, years and years later, he just remembered a weird story that like, did I remember that right? He remembered a time when he was in this was when it's super illegal, it was the height of the drug war, right?
Yeah.
He was working for some really, really sketchy, like, methed out, like, weird guys, you know? And one of the people who worked for this farm came running into the house, like, freaking the fuck out because Bigfoot killed three of their growers. Like, three of their farmers were killed by Bigfoot. And this is a story that, like, he's like, did that really happen? Like, so he looks it up, like, did three people go missing? Like, no record of them. So he asks around, like, local drug dealers in California who are a little more comfortable talking about it now that it's legal. And they're saying, yeah, dude, I totally heard. Like, three Mexican guys got killed on a plantation up at this specific area around here. And the first episode is like, okay, could Bigfoot have done this? So it's genuinely the first hour of this show is like, what's the deal with Bigfoot? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah.
And then it very much becomes, okay,
I guess I do have to ask you, do you believe in Bigfoot?
Do I believe in Bigfoot? I don't know now that I've watched this documentary. Like, the first episode, it's a very well done documentary.
Yeah.
I'll also point out that the guy doing this investigating doesn't believe in Bigfoot. Okay. And he doesn't believe that Bigfoot killed these people. And by the end, it's pretty, like, he basically, spoilers, he basically finds out by the end that these guys were just murdered because Mexican pot farmers were coming into this area to try and sort of, like, push the local farmers out of business.
Sure.
So the local farmers murdered three of them in a really, really grotesque, like, horrific fashion, and then blamed it on some kind of monster, which is their Bigfoot, like, their version of the Chupacabra, Bigfoot. Okay. And the reason why so many people that he was talking to had heard of this these very specific details about the story was because it was very selectively spread around the community as this sort of, like, boogeyman to sort of scare some of these migrant workers coming into this area.
All right, that makes enough sense.
Yeah. But so that's where the documentary ends. So in between all that, he just does a lot of digging into this, like, this really gritty, kind of disgusting, like, industry of backwoods pot farming in California, which you get the vision of this, like, these just, like, hippies out there. He's like, no, they're more like unhinged, like, hill folk with heavily armed. But so it's a phenomenal documentary and a really bizarre one too. And I got to recommend that one as well. It's really good.
All right.
And that's what I've been watching. So, I mean, I'm sure there's more stuff that I've watched.
Yeah. But, and I'm kind of in the same boat.
Oh, I watched Wonder Woman 84 on the, or 84, 86, the new Wonder 84. Woman. I watched the new Wonder Woman on a plane. It's not as bad as everybody says it is. I thought it was okay.
I still haven't watched it. We were going to watch it on our HBO Max, but then we can't.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because
it's not on HBO Max anymore?
No, apparently what they're doing is, like, any movies that they release, it's only available for a couple months. And then,
that's the deal. I'm sure it'll be available eventually.
So, like, King Kong vs. Godzilla or Mortal Kombat, they're eventually going to be
the
same. That's
why I couldn't find Shazam on HBO Max. Probably. I was looking. Oh, man, yeah. I wanted to rewatch that. Anyway, that's a shame. Yeah, no, Wonder Woman 84, not that bad. Like, what's her name?
Gal Gadot.
No, the one who plays Cheetah.
Oh.
Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
Stupid good. Stupid good job playing Cheetah.
Really? And
the ending was kind of dumb, I'll say that. But, like, the fight scene between her and Wonder Woman is fucking awesome.
Well, that's good.
Well,
I'm glad to hear that about her, because I remember when I heard that she was casted, that was kind of my big, like, is she good for an action role?
She was. She had a very good range, you know? Mm-hmm. that it was, I mean, it's not the best.
They need to make the transition at some time.
It's not the best, but it's still a pretty, maybe because my expectations were so low going in, like, it's a pretty watchable movie. Yeah. And then I watched Knives Out on the way back from Arizona, and that's a pretty fun movie, too.
Dang.
Yeah.
You've just been watching a lot, man.
Well, you know, you have a two-hour flight, you got movies. Yeah, man, so that's it for me, and we're just about at the halfway mark here, if you want to start talking about some news stories,
because we pulled up
quite a few, I remember.
Yeah, for sure. We have a ton.
Before we go into news stories, because there's one more thing we watched that we haven't talked about.
Yep.
But it's also related to, the first news story that we're going to talk
about. You're right, yep.
So we should bring this up first.
Yes, Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
You didn't mishear. It's not Falcon and the Winter Soldier anymore, it's Captain America and the Winter Soldier, which we all kind of knew was going to be the conclusion of the first season. It's still good to see.
Yeah.
I just watched, this one last night, and just, like, I knew at the end of the second to last episode that what he was looking at was the goddamn costume.
Mm-hmm.
I was really mad that we didn't get to see him in it.
Yeah.
And now that we actually, it's the whole last episode is just him as Captain America that also has wings.
Yeah.
And it's fucking awesome.
It's so good. I love his suit looks great and everything. And you know what? There's a subtle detail that I saw someone point out.
Yeah.
So, like, if you watch the show in subtitles, right?
Yeah.
How it'll say, like, you know, Sam said whatever.
Yeah.
As soon as he shows up, like, in his costume and introduces himself as Captain America, it changes to Captain America.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Every time he talks.
And the end credits, has the title Captain America and the Winter Soldier. He is not the Falcon anymore, and they can't say that enough. Like Anthony Mackie, Sam Wilson, is Captain America now.
Yeah,
and that's awesome. Let's look at a little more details about the last episode. So
in it, the Flag Smashers are like
taking a group of senators hostage or something.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact deal, but yeah, it's a bunch of like. UN.
They were about to sign some legislation to, like, forcibly give back the property of people who had been, like, banished or something like that.
Yeah, it's people who were in the blip, or whatever they call it now. Now that they're back, they have the rights to whatever land they owned at that time.
Yeah, it's displacing a bunch of people.
And it displaces the people who took it over afterwards. Yeah.
You know?
Which makes sense. Like...
Which I do like how much they explored the post-blip world in Captain America. Because they didn't at all in WandaVision.
No.
Spider-Man
Far From Home touched on it
a little bit, but not a lot.
No.
And considering that they're all over Europe, too, it's weird that they don't mention it that much.
Yeah.
It's
weird that all their parents were okay with them going on a school field trip.
It's kind of
like after being blipped.
Especially when they got like goddamn like, I mean, terrorists clearly running around the world in this post-blip world.
Yeah.
But in any case, that's like this is the big climactic, like they got to save these hostages and it's just Captain America and the Winter Soldier and what's his name? The U.S. agent?
Yeah. John Walker. Yeah.
Yeah. Who is,
he redeems himself a little bit.
A little bit.
I'm still like, you're still an asshole.
I would like to know in what capacity we're going to see him more in the future. Because, our first news story is the fact that the director of Captain America and the Winter Soldier is going to continue the next Captain America movie, right?
So they're not going to do another show. They're going to do a Captain America movie.
Yeah.
Captain America 4, and Sam will be the Captain America in that. As of yet, I don't know if there's any word if Sebastian Stan will come back, but I assume he will.
They're not going to give him his own movie, so stick him in Captain America.
Well, no, like, we're not going to get a Winter Soldier movie, but,
Maybe he'll be in Black Panther, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Because that was one thing I really wish they had done more, like, you only get to see the Wakandan guard, like, only a little bit.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see a little more about his time in Wakanda, because it's clearly a very big part of his redemption arc, you know?
Yeah.
So
they're making that, it's going to be a movie and it's going to have the same showrunner, well, director now.
Mm-hmm. The showrunner is now the director.
Yeah, the showrunner will now be the director for the movie. And part of that, there's been rumors for a long time that Chris Evans is going to return to the MCU. And that has more or less been confirmed. Like, he said something, I don't know exactly what, but to the degree of being like, yes, I am coming back.
Yeah.
Just for one thing. but they did say he's not coming back for Captain 4.
Well, the theory that we've been talking about for almost the entire length that we've been doing this podcast is The theme that we've been talking about a lot, it's come up in almost every episode, is the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or not that, I mean, that's
whatever we're calling it, yeah.
Whatever it's called. And then Doctor Strange and the Sentinels of the Multiverse or whatever.
Yeah.
We Multiverse know Madness, that there's yeah. going to be Sentinels of the Multiverse is a board game, that's right. Anyway, which is a good board game. We should play it sometime, Bob. It's all about superheroes. It's really fun. I've only played it once. Anyway, the theme that we believe that Phase 4 of Marvel is going to deal heavily in the multiverse, so a lot of canonical events are going to be sort of rendered moot because, it's just him from another dimension. Yeah. So
certain things be rewritten.
I have to kind of lean towards this Chris Evans news.
It's like, him showing up in Doctor Strange.
Yeah, it's like, oh, they just got him from another dimension or something. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That would be my theory. It's very possible they could get him in old man makeup and have him be old man Rogers, you know?
See, and like, that was always my thing with this, with Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm going to call it now. But, they kept acting like
Which
Steve
is confusing,
because
it is a movie. Yeah. That is the name of the second True. Captain America movie.
They kept acting like Steve was dead, and I'm like, did he die between Infinity War and Endgame and this?
I think they just kind of agreed not to let everybody believe that he's dead.
Right, so but Sam and Bucky knew he was alive, so...
Yeah, maybe they couldn't get Chris Evans for the show and they just never...
Yeah, just never wanted to bring it up.
Maybe. It's, in any case, yeah, I mean, we didn't see... He doesn't die at the end of Avengers. Like, we very much clearly see him go back and...
Maybe he just... finally passes, like, goes to rest.
He's very old.
Yeah. By that point, he's in his hundreds.
And his then-girlfriend, now-wife, has died at the beginning of which movie, so we knew that canonically, again, like, several years earlier, his Agent Carter died. Yeah. Oh, also, Agent Carter's granddaughter, new Agent Carter, bad guy.
Yeah.
That's something.
Niece, but yes. Yeah, she's a bad guy in that, which is a huge rewrite for her character.
Huge rewrite, oh my god.
Because, yeah, she's in the comics, she is Steve's girlfriend. Like,
if
always.
If there's any weird thing, like, that's maybe the one thing I didn't care for. Like, her complete turn
they
as
just
a character.
Didn't know what to do with her character.
It's so weird. Yeah. I mean, it's cool that Madripoor is now canonical. Like, that's awesome. But, because Madripoor has a lot of great, like, villains and stories and stuff like that. But, the power broker, right? Like, she's the power broker. Like,
yeah, which I've never heard of. I never even looked it up for this. I don't know if that's, like, a character in Marvel.
Yeah.
But,
so that was a little weird. But other than that, like, did I like Captain America Winter Soldier as much as I liked WandaVision? Probably not. But I feel good. From where we are now at the end of it. Like, I feel like the next movie can start off with... Well, because the last Avengers movie ended with Captain America handing the shield to Sam Wilson. We got to see a nice little, like, interlude between
of
the next movie.
Of him accepting that role, yeah.
So now we can just get right into the movie. People who didn't watch the show just be like, oh, cool, like... Yeah. I guess that happened, and now we know a little bit of detail in between there.
Yeah, and what I'm guessing
fleshes out the world.
And what I'm guessing they're going to do with this Cap 4 is like they'll allude to things that happen in the show.
Yeah,
but they're not going to rely on him.
Yeah,
like they're not going to bring the Flag Smashers back. They're going to deal with a new threat.
Yeah, I doubt we're going to see Zemo in a movie again. Yeah. Maybe if they do another season. That was another thing that pissed me off. Did he ever put on a mask in the entire show?
I thought they showed his mask.
I thought they showed him wearing a mask in, like, some promotional footage.
Yep.
And I don't think I ever saw it, and I was a little upset.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the end credits to see him in the mask, and then I found out Agent Carter's a villain. I was like, okay, well, that's a little disappointing. But it's...
Yeah, I did hear one big rumor, especially with the John Walker now being U.S. agent.
Yeah.
Even though he's never been a part of this team, they want to make a Thunderbolt show.
Yeah.
With him as, like, the leader.
That's kind of what... Oh, can we also say... we mentioned this Julie Louis-Dreyfus, canonical to the Marvel Universe now.
Yeah.
So, Lane from
Veep.
Seinfeld. She's Veep. It's... we do not know who the hell she is. Like... She's Contessa something something or other.
Yeah.
Some insanely long name. And she works for what's clearly like a government like black ops agency or something.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be Hydro or something similar. But yeah, I mean, the second I saw her character and the second she kind of explained what she was there to do, I was pretty much like, yeah, this is like Thunderbolt. This is gonna be like Hammer. This is gonna be like, gonna be like the Dark Avengers or whatever. And like,
yeah, which I'm fine with. Ooh, yeah, Dark Avengers. Let's just do that.
Let's just do Dark Avengers, man. Yeah. Let's do it. I've been saying, now that we have Madripoor, and now that they have the rights to use X-Men characters, which will happen eventually. We don't know how yet, but it will. Like, you know where I'm gonna go with this. You got fucking Dark Wolverine. Wolverine's son, Dakin. He lives in Madripoor.
Yeah.
He's kind of a drug lord out over there. He's also a member of the Dark Avengers. We got Dark Captain America. Like, you can do it.
Yeah.
And we're going to have, moving on, like, I mean, we will talk about this in greater detail a little later. We do know that Zeus is going to be in the new Thor movie.
Yeah. We do know
so that. So Ares, who was the replacement for Thor in the Dark Avengers, could also happen as well.
Yeah. And really, you don't have to, like, you can play fast and loose. Like, they just have to approximate the characters they're being.
They totally could.
Like,
I feel like
there's
enough.
In the She-Hulk show, let's say they have Abomination in the She-Hulk show.
Yeah.
Use him. Like,
we've got Matt Gargan in Spider-Man.
Yep.
So if they want to say, like, here's Scorpion, like, he's on a parole program, he's coming out to test out this new.
Or hell, get Michael Keaton as the Vulture, like, have him be their Falcon.
Be their Falcon! Oh my god! And then you can tie in the Sinister Six.
Yep.
Like, we can totally do this. We can do this.
Yeah.
You and me, Digital. No. No, we can't do this. We don't have enough money.
I'm not a good writer.
Disney could. But with that being said, you want to move on to Thor, Love, and Thunder?
Yeah,
and
Thor, announcement? Yeah, Thor, Love, and Thunder. So we've known that Russell Crowe was a part of it for a long time, but he's actually come out and said, like, I am playing Zeus.
Which I think movie. Is actually really good casting. Like, he looks like some. Now, the age that he is now, he very much looks like a Greek, like, pantheon.
Yeah, leader. If we were doing this, like, 20-ish years ago, I'd say Hercules.
Yeah.
But, like, now, Zeus. Like,
for sure. Totally. You know, and Russell Crowe. So, and this is also significant because this is the first time that the Greek pantheon has been mentioned in the Marvel Universe. It's the whole thing about Wonder Woman. Like, that's the whole deal.
Yeah.
So it's DC. This is a very completely separate canonical Greek pantheons for two separate universes. But the Greek gods also have a pretty significant role in Thor's canon, you know? Like,
Well, the Greek characters have always been around in the Marvel Universe, but they've never been huge players. But they show up a lot in Thor comics just because...
Well, Hercules. I think of
Hercules
all of them,
more than
Hercules
anyone.
Is definitely the most common. He's he's straight up been an Avenger. Like, he is a character in Marvel.
Yeah, I'd say he's a consistent B member of the Avengers.
Yeah, like, well, hasn't he been part of... God damn, what's the event? The Defenders? Hasn't he been part of the Defenders before, too?
Yeah. Back when the Defenders weren't, like, about street justice.
Yeah.
When they were about, like,
it's pretty
protecting
much,
the multiverse.
I mean, there it is. That sums it up exactly. He's not an Avenger, he's a Defender. Like, so he's the you know, the special teams sidelines kind of superhero. And sometimes anti-hero, like, mixed up, so, like, manipulated for evil purposes as well, because he's not very smart. But, we kind of knew that this was going to event, like, because we're kind of running out of Thor villains to put in the movies.
I mean, yeah.
He doesn't have a lot of them.
But we also know Keanu Reeves is in it, and he's playing the God Butcher, I think is the name of it.
Ooh.
and he shaved his face
so
for it.
So that's who Keanu, because we found that out, but we've talked about Keanu Reeves' potential Marvel characters for a while.
Yeah.
So he's going to be a villain.
Yeah, he's playing the villain, the God Butcher, who, I believe, he's like... Ah, man, I'm trying to remember my Thor comics right now. His role is that he's prophesized to be the one to bring about Ragnarok / kill Thor.
He's probably going to be the bad guy, in the primary antagonist in the movie or something.
Yeah,
especially if now the revelation that Russell Crowe's playing Zeus, we have the Greek pantheon. That's probably their involvement in the story, I would assume. The God Butcher. A character named the God Butcher. Probably ain't going to just butcher one god.
No. He's probably working his way through it.
So that'll be interesting. And, you know, also a perfect jumping off point for Jane Foster Thor, which we also know is going to make an appearance in the next movie. Into what capacity, we don't know. If it's going to be a whole movie about her, if it's just she's going to come in at the end, we don't know that, but it's going to be kind of cool to find out.
I mean, they've outright been like, she's going to wield a hammer, she's going to do a lot of cool things, so I assume she's in it throughout.
I mean, she had a huge chunk of story in the Marvel comic book universe. Yeah. Like, where Thor, the unworthy Thor, was off doing his own thing. I mean, and they had him in comics, but the Thor comics were just Jane Foster. And we didn't know it was Jane Foster for years. Like, it was almost a year before I think they revealed her identity.
No, I thought we knew right away. I could be wrong.
No, man. I remember. It was a huge thing. Like, she reveals that it's Jane Foster. She's got cancer, too, so that's why she's always has to be in Thor mode.
Like, yeah, because as soon as she goes back, like, when she turns into Thor mode, it cleans her body of all toxins.
Yeah.
So any chemo she's had is, like, gone.
Yeah, when she's Jane Foster, she's this withered little, like, thing, and she, like, you can barely stand up, and that was, like, the whole big revelation, and I mean,
yeah.
So it'll be, I mean, I don't know.
I do know The Death of Jane Foster, that book, is so beautiful, because I have it's, the art is beautiful, like, her accepting that she's about to die is just, like, so, like, poignant.
I would love to read that. That's, like, that's really, good. Really good. I love it when comic books make you feel things. But anyway, Thor Love and Thunder. Another update, and hopefully some more to come. Do we have a release date for that movie yet?
I don't believe so yet. I can look it up here.
Well, with the casting announcements, you got to figure that.
It just says 2022.
You got to figure that release date's coming sometime.
Yeah, it has to.
Anyway, so cool stuff on that. We've about at the 45-minute mark. We've got plenty more to talk about, though.
Yeah, let's talk about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, we already did a little bit. But let's talk about Game of Thrones in perhaps a more positive light.
So Game of Thrones, we've already known that they've been making a prequel.
Multiple prequels. One that they're working on now,
House of the Dragon is this one.
Which I'm kind of excited about, because I guess none of the books are about this. But because Game of Thrones, as we've said, was such a complete and, like, storied universe, even before the guy started writing... Everyone kind of knows what this is about. There's the Targaryens, when they controlled Westeros, were really, really, like, ancient Rome backstabbing, like, regicide, like, usurpers, like, killing each other to seize power and stuff. And I believe this show, if I remember the reports, is going to focus on what they call the Dance of Dragons, where two Targaryens who both had two separate armies of dragons were fighting over the power of the throne. And that, to me, sounds like the coolest thing you could possibly put on screen. Are you kidding me? That was the whole reason anyone watched Game of Thrones. And when we finally got to see a dragon fucking murder everybody, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was so worth it. But still, that was the jumping the shark of the show, is when we finally get to see the dragon and the Dothraki just wipe out the Lannister army. It's amazing. Like, just imagine that, but that's the whole show. Are you imagining it digital? Can you see it in your mind's eye? Because I can't stop seeing it.
Ah, man.
It haunts my dreams.
Yeah. Oh, man. And just imagine that, because the dragons are fireproof, so they have to, like, claw and bite each other.
Isn't there an episode where they're at, like, I can't remember what they call it, but there's, like, a fortress that's just, like, completely, like, caved in and melted. It was, like, this was the impenetrable fortress, and then the dragons came. Like, damn. And now it's just here.
I can't remember that. But...
It's in the early episodes. It's when Arya is getting like shipped off to the wall.
Yeah.
So.
Oh God! No wonder I can't think of it. Yeah, Arya. Do you mean Jon?
No, it's when Arya's getting shipped off to the wall. Like, after she's fleeing the castle, the King's Landing, she meets Gendry, the blacksmith. It's when they meet, and then that fat baker kid. And they're like torturing people in this fortress, and that's when she meets Tywin Lannister for the first time.
He was probably one of the only guys that got off okay.
Kind of.
Or did he die?
Gendry?
No, the baker kid.
No, the baker kid's fine, I think. Okay. They meet him, like, again after a while, and his bread's gotten better.
Yeah, he's gotten better at baking. Which, good for him.
So, yeah, in a world of, like, Night's Watch and White Walkers, just be a baker. It's a really underutilized profession in the Game of Thrones world. People need bread.
Yeah, people need food, man. Like, but all the news that's come out is people taking pictures of the set...
Which means they are filming, and that's fucking awesome. Yeah. That is not nothing. That's really good.
Yeah, it is not nothing, but we don't see any actors or anything in these. We just see what the locale is going to look like.
Yeah.
One of the big things here is there is a brand new sigil that we have not seen.
New family, then.
Yeah, it's a new family. People are saying it is the Valyrian?
Oh, the what?
House Valyrian?
House Valyrian? Isn't, like, the Valyrians were the civilization that the Targaryens came from.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll see a little more about their homeland, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because the only time we see it in the show is this, like, the ruins of it that are filled with, like, stone people, you know?
Yeah, it has been identified. It is a, like, kind of, it's the seahorse. Oh. But, like, kind of like a more badass-looking seahorse.
like a sea warhorse.
Yeah, well, yeah.
A like, sea steed.
Like, it just looks a lot more, like, badass than a seahorse.
A sea stallion.
But that makes me think, like, okay, so are the Valyrians, because you said they're the predecessors of the Targaryens.
They were the longest reigning empire in this world. They weren't a part of Westeros, because Westeros was a lot of these old families and the free folk and stuff, like, fighting for supremacy. And they weren't really, they didn't control all of Essos, the big continent that Dany spends most of the time on. Mm-hmm. But it was a volcanic archipelago that they controlled. Like, the entire, like, that entire, like, southern half of the coast of Essos was, like, their empire, okay, pretty much. And they had magic. That was, like, the big thing is they had magic. Like, and their magic is still, like, in the swords, and that's why Valyrian steel is such a big deal.
Right.
And the reason why their ruins are still, like, standing is because they, like, no one knows how they were able to build structures like this. Sure. Like, so that's part of it. And I know, like, I did read a synopsis of it. The Targaryens were a very, like, low-level house in Valyrian society, mm-hmm, but they were dragon breeders. So when, like, Aegon the First, I think, Aegon the Conqueror or whatever... Sure. When his daughter had a prophetic vision one night, there was going to be disasters. So they got all of their dragons and they flew to Dragonstone, which is a pretty central location in the
show. So this series is taking place way before any characters we know of.
It could easily be 100 years, I think. Yeah. Like, easily. Like, we'll probably like see the predecessors of the Lannisters. We'll probably see the predecessors of the Starks. Because all those families were still there during all of these times, right, you know. We almost certainly will not see any characters, yeah, from the show.
Except maybe that one witch woman.
Well, maybe. Yeah. You know?
That's about it, like, because I don't know her whole deal. Or, that one dude who brings himself back to life constantly.
I don't know how old he is, but maybe. Like, yeah, it's really
a question. Or at least maybe a different actor playing him, be like, he's younger.
Yeah, who knows? In any case, these are the questions we have to ask, because I think these are the questions that everybody's asking. Yeah. Like, what are we going to see about this completely original Game of Thrones story that's based on something that's not even, like, talked about in the books, but not actually explained in the books?
Yeah.
And that'll be cool.
I'm kind of interested by it being a seahorse, because that kind of implies that they're kind of like a seafaring people.
Well, they were a volcanic archipelago, like a chain of islands. Oh, you know? Okay. So that's, that makes a little bit of sense. But yeah, I mean, it'll be cool to see more about Valyrians, you know?
I'd have done a turtle. But.
Well, they already did a squid, yeah, so I guess.
Yeah. Jumping off of this news, but sticking with Game of Thrones, Amelia Clark is writing a comic book.
Yeah, I saw this. I didn't read anything about the comic book, but she's writing comic books now.
Yeah,
Do you have what the title or synopsis is?
So it's called Mom, Mother of Madness.
Okay.
M-O-M, Mother of Madness.
A little on the nose, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it's just like, the Mother of Dragons.
You changed
yeah.
one word. One word. It like, has almost the same amount of letters in it, too. Like, it's not even...
But yeah, it's a 3-issue miniseries following Maya, an under-the-weather scientist?
An under-the-weather scientist?
During the day, a superhero by night... Wait, okay. This is badly written.
So a scientist who's a superhero at night.
Yeah. She is a sickly scientist during the day and a superhero at night. And a single mother around the clock.
Oh.
The story features Maya using her powers to take down a cabal of human traffickers.
What a weird story.
Yeah. Oh, and even the art's weird. Like, we have the cover for what is issue one here.
What does it look like? Like some like indie comic or something?
Yeah, it's very indie comic.
Oh, weird. That looks like people can't see it. It's like, it seems to be a female face with a button eye and like a string of pearls around the eye. And then one eye is an empty eye socket. And it's like pastel yellow top half, pink bottom half. Oh, weird shaped head.
Yeah, it looks like a stocking cap, like fused to her head.
But with like a nose and mouth on it.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, and there's a hand with an eye next to it that's not attached to anything. Like, it's definitely a very reminiscent of, like, like mid-80s like Dark Horse comics, you know? Like those kind of title like covers and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
Sandman almost.
This is following a trend that's been going on pretty recently. But yeah, Clark is she's assembled an all-female creative team for this project, including illustrator Layla Lies.
This, I get the sense that this isn't something she just came up with on the fly. Like, this is something she's probably wanted to do for a while.
No, and even the title, she's probably kind of just banking on her recognizability as Daenerys.
Yeah.
But this is following a very noticeable trend I've been seeing of famous actors / musicians, like, transitioning into, like, storytelling.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about this already, but, like, Gerard Way.
Yeah.
Obviously wrote Umbrella Academy.
I did read the third. I think we talked about it on the show. I did finish the third volume of Umbrella Academy, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's so good. Gerard Way, of course. And Gerard Way always kind of wanted to do that. It was just the success of My Chemical Romance that allowed him to do so.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. But more recently, Keanu Reeves put out...
Berserker. I've read the first issue.
Yep, I have it.
It's pretty alright. Like, it's cool. I'll keep watching it, you know? Like, I'll read it. Because I think he wants to do, like, an animated series or maybe a movie about
it's
it.
It's already been, like, picked up by someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause, I mean, the main character is clearly just him.
Yeah.
Like, him as, like, a Viking barbarian.
Yeah, he just wrote a movie that he will star in. But
pretty much. It's still gnarly as hell, dude.
Yeah, and the band All Time Low have a graphic novel.
Get the
out.
Fuck out of town.
Yeah, they do.
I gotta pick that up. Like, that sounds awesome.
Right? I got your picture! Oh my god.
Oh my god.
All Time Low, though.
It's gonna be great! Well, that's cool. Well, you think maybe it has something to do with COVID, like how nobody can tour, nobody can film as much as they used to.
Yeah,
like,
so they kind of looked into other avenues.
Because it's not unheard of for celebrities to like write children's books or write like a autobiography or things like that.
No, I've got children's books that are written by like Jimmy Fallon.
I know Jamie Lee Curtis wrote one too.
And BJ Novak.
Yeah, what was John Oliver wrote that gay bunny one about Vice President Mike Pence's gay pet bunny?
Okay.
The Gay Adventures of Marlon Bundo. I've read
it. Yep,
it's adorable.
I do know that one, yeah.
So, it's not something new. I think maybe the reason we're seeing such a huge wave of it is because that's probably what a lot of celebrities have been doing in the downtime they've had over the last year.
I mean, yeah, and, like, I just pulled up a list here of other celebrities who have written comics, and it's... Some of them are understandable. Kevin Smith, Rosario Dawson has written some.
I know, Scott...
CM Punk.
CM Punk, right? Okay, so you're getting into weird ones, too. I know Scott Ian from Anthrax, who's a huge comic book nerd, has written Lobo comics, and I have at least three of them, and they're pretty, like, far out. And I just saw on Twitter the other day that Dee Snider, his lead singer of Twisted Sister, is, he made a movie in 2001 called Strangeland, and he's making, like, the sequel in a comic book form, too.
Yeah.
So it's not even just, like, big celebrities, it's everybody. Like people want to get writing now.
For real. And, like, and it's one of those, if you are a decent enough writer and everything, like, you can just have an audience that doesn't rely on you keeping up in movies and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah. Gerard Way is a perfect example.
Yeah, plus just appreciating
you. Gerard Way stands on his own as a comic book writer, and if you had never known he was in My Chemical Romance, it does not change his work at all in comic books.
I will say, all these people we've mentioned, with the exception of Gerard Way, I'm not a fan of that. That is clearly just them, like in a power fantasy of themselves.
Yeah, Kevin Smith would never do that. I'll point that out right now. He literally has a character named Bluntman and Chronic, and that's his movie. That's a joke about his movie.
Yeah,
like he's never written maybe he has. I don't know, but like he doesn't insert himself into the Batman, the Widening Gyre, or anything. Like, why would he?
Yeah, you know? Or Green Arrow, whatever.
Scott
that was.
Ian's not pretending to be Lobo. You know what I mean? Just come on.
Like right here, I have a picture of Rashida Jones. She wrote a book in 2009 called Frenemy of the State.
Yeah,
that is clearly just her that they drew there.
Huh.
Like, just just beautiful as all hell because fuck yes, Rashida Jones.
Rashida Jones is so gorgeous.
But
man.
Right?
Quincy Jones' daughter, man. They were doing great. Something right when they made her, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Let's get Rashida Jones in the Marvel Universe. Who would Rashida... We have very little time left, but let's spend it talking about who we think Rashida Jones should play in the Marvel Universe. That's a good way to end this episode, right?
Yeah, let's do that.
Brainstorm, man. X-Men included. Like, we can go into X-Men, we can go into villains, we can go into Fantastic Four villains. Nobody's out of the question, right?
Okay.
Good one. Let's do a quick brainstorm. I'm just going to think of some cool X-Men, maybe.
Okay. I mean, I'll right off the bat say, let's just do Mystique.
Yeah, dude.
Just
fucking print it. Like, done. Get Rashida Jones' Mystique.
Yeah, man.
Dude, she doesn't have to be naked all the time, man. Like, you can have her in the costume.
I want the white dress costume.
Yeah, I kind of do. Like... I kind of want to see the traditional costume in a movie. Because I mean, the sexy body paint is cool. I mean, it's not what she usually looks like, though.
Yeah.
And it's always bugged me a little bit for that reason. I'm kind of getting tired. It's kind of played out. And we're about an hour.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do. So there you go. Give us Rashida Jones' Mystique.
Or make her like one of the Greek goddesses.
That makes a lot of sense, too. Well, that's it. Ooh. Enchantress.
Yes. Why isn't there an Enchantress yet?
Oh, my God. We did it. We nailed it. We've knocked it out of the park. We've given Marvel so many possible characters to cast Rashida Jones as. Well, on that delightful note, we have been the Digital Graveyard. I'm Eric Graves. With me, as always, Bobby Digital. We would like to thank John Wheeler and Sam Dunn for the use of our theme song, which I'm going to have to find to dig up because I did get a new hard drive at my computer. I don't know where I stored the audio file. So if there's a brand new theme song tonight, I'll make a disclaimer for that. We also want to thank Eric Castellanos or the Dapper Skull for the use of our logo. You can buy our t-shirts on his Etsy page at the Dapper Skull and follow him on Instagram as well. On that note, have a good night. Bobby, play us out.
The Digital Graveyard always pays its debts.